Welcome to episode 81 of the Frenemy Sports Podcast. We're taking a break from football. We're going to NBA. It's about the halfway mark, I think. We're kind of just going to freeball it. We're just going to talk about different teams. We will conclude by having our prediction for MVP and our predicted Eastern Conference, Western Conference winner, and then the winner of the finals. That makes sense for everyone. There's no confusion because someone's going to say, oh, no. Okay, good. All right.
I have a question. All right, we will be doing another episode on the NBA before the playoffs, just so we can have that whole preview, too.
Correct. So it'll be like an end of season / playoff preview type of thing.
Okay, so we'll update our predictions, make any like halfway prediction points, because that's roughly where we're around right now, and then we'll have that episode to really predict. Again, and talk about the playoffs, and then we can predict like who's going to be at the top of the bracket and all that. Anyway, you're right. Continue, Jacob.
Okay. I guess we'll start talking about teams, and we'll just let it go. We'll start with the East, though. Let's start with the top team, Boston Celtics. They went to the finals last year, and they look like they've been better now. They had a little bit of a rough patch in December, but now they're starting lineup back with Williams and Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart. The team, I think, is top five offensively and defensively, and I think it's pretty clear they're the best in the East.
Yeah, I would agree. This team is particularly scary this year because now they have playoff experience and deep playoff experience, and there's no newness to the moment. If they get back to the finals, it's going to be really, really hard not to pick them to win.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with both of the two things that you two have said. The Celtics are the clear favorite to come out of the East right now. I don't really think it's that close. I think the Sixers are sitting at the 2 seed. The Bucks are the 3 seed, but the Celtics have looked like by far the best team in the East, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I'm going to provide very little to this episode. I haven't watched a lot of the NBA this year. You know how I feel about the NBA. I'm not its biggest fan, but I will say this about the Boston Celtics. I have watched a lot of Celtics games. They look phenomenal. Tatum looks really good. My favorite part of the Celtics this year, aside from their 2 losses to the Cavs, there was a game where like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, or whatever I should call Mr. Harry the Ginger now, they were at the Celtics game, and you know, some like reporter asked the coach if like they noticed the royal family, and he said, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And I just thought that was great because, like, you know, I think the royal family's a joke. I think, you know, a lot of British culture, like tea and scones and crumpets or whatever, I think is a joke. I think Harry's a joke. I think Meghan Markle's a joke. No respect for any of them. I think they're all pathetic. So it was nice to see, you know, they came to America. They come to a real country that, you know, beat them and had some success and, you know, did a lot for their people. It was nice to see them get called out because they're a bunch of pretentious little losers.
Really? We're shitting on the British?
Not just the British, like the pretentious British, like the British that did absolutely nothing and they act like they're oppressed and, you know, ugh, British people.
Anything Jack says, and this is to his credit, always comes back down to his moral values. So anything he passionately says, it has a background of his moral values there.
No, it's absolutely
because
true.
Instead of you started with the NBA and we ended up with you hating Britain, which you do because you're always pro-America, and you somehow brought it back to Jesus. So thank you for that.
There's one royal family. Only one way to get to the throne, and it's not through the British.
Okay, back to the NBA. I think the other thing too is I think with not saying Curry has declined yet, but something I'm interested to see how it pans out in the future is championships one going to go back to the traditional two dominant. Dominant wings, offensive and defensive wings, like the LeBron, Wade, Jordan, Pippen type style teams, because that's what the Celtics have built. They have a nice defending rim-running center in Robert Williams. They have a defensive first guard, and then they kind of just fill in like a shooter in that lineup, and then they have solid role players around it, and their two best players are two two-way wings. I mean, Jason Tatum legit could be a All-NBA first team. Jaylen Brown could be All-NBA first team, All-NBA second team. They get after it on both ends of the floor. Is that the direction that the NBA is going to head back to? Because it's there's always like there's not one way to win a title, but it seems that once one way is working for that entire generation, entire decade, entire 10 or so year stretch, that's how it goes.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think you're definitely seeing the league being more wing driven than it has in the past. But to kind of touch on real quick, just kind of back to the Celtics, it kind of got me thinking. I think one key reason that the Celtics are also kind of dominating this year and are first in the East right now is their bench is their bench, and especially Malcolm Brogdon, can put up 30 on any given night. Malcolm Brogdon has added so much to that Boston Celtics bench, and I feel like that's a kind of a main reason that they're dominating right now is because they can kind of finally give Tatum and Brown a little bit of rest, and they don't need to play the entire damn game.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. For Carter's point, and kind of what Hunter kind of talked about a little bit too, it is like wing heavy now. So you need great wings to be dominant. So I would agree with that. But I think especially the Celtics, yeah, it is their bench. But I think a big part of it too is they stay healthy. If you look at the rest of the league, all the stars get hurt and they take rest. And you look at Tatum and Brown, they don't really miss that many games. Other than Robert Williams, that entire team has stayed healthy, which I think is the reason why they just have continuity and they're three games above the two seed. All right, so yeah. Carter usually asks these questions here, but sorry. Do you have a thought, Carter?
No, I just agree with that, what you just said.
Yeah, usually Carter has these questions, so I'm just going to ask him. So Boston's obviously won. Who poses the biggest threat to Boston winning the East?
I have my answer, and y'all are going to hate it, but it's the Brooklyn Nets. To beat the Celtics, you have to score the ball at an unbelievable rate, and no duo has been better in the last month and a half than Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant putting the ball in the basket. We had a TikTok recently on who the top five point guards were, and I kind of put and I understand the some of the disliking towards Kyrie, off the court. Off the court and on the court. But the dude's a bucket. I mean, he is unbelievable to watch. He's one of my favorite players ever to watch. His body control and the way he can get to the rim and finish in multiple ways. He can hit any shot on the basketball court. And I think in order to be able to beat the Celtics, you have to, one, have the same experience or more, and two, you have to be able to score in bunches and be able to respond with scoring punches to their scoring runs. I look at the Sixers. I just don't know if they can. I don't know if they have the firepower around. If we see a vintage Harden down the stretch, a more scoring Harden, I think Harden's got to be more aggressive than potentially. And I don't. There's no answer to Joel Embiid. I really do like the Bucks still, because I think Giannis can be elite. I just don't know. They just aren't scoring that much, and I haven't seen enough of Middleton in the lineup to really get a gauge on where he is at, and it kind of depends on how healthy he is, so he could also be a thing. I don't think the Celtics are clear runaways, but as of right now, I would take the Nets. And I also think the Cavs, if they figure out what the hell they're doing pace-wise, they're playing too slow and defensively, they could give a fight. But I would say those four teams are the ones that could give problems, and I would say right now the biggest one's the Nets.
Yeah. Carter, first off, thank you for listing the entire Eastern Conference in your little ramble. I'll say this. I think in the NBA, I think coaching's very important. You look at the Celtics, brand new coach, rookie guy, because, you know, Ime Udoka, you know, did some bad things. You look at the Sixers, Doc Rivers. I think Doc Rivers is one of the most overrated coaches in the history of the sport. With the 76ers, I don't see that team getting to the finals just because of how poor a coach Doc Rivers is. I think Embiid's elite. I think Harden's very good. I think Tyrese Maxey's phenomenal. I like Tobias Harris. It's just Doc Rivers, he continuously finds ways to lose in the postseason. Then, you know, I look at the Nets. Vaughn, brand new coach. He was an assistant coach to start the year. Turns out he's a pretty decent coach because the Nets are on fire lately. Cavaliers started out as like the hottest team in the NBA, and now I think Bickerstaff is losing them a little bit. I don't think Bickerstaff's a great coach. I think he's very, very average with a surplus of talent. Then, you know, going down the list, it's Heat, Knicks, Hawks, Pacers. The only team I could possibly see proposing a threat would be the Heat because of Spoelstra. I think the only threat really to the Celtics is the Milwaukee Bucks. I think Giannis is, you know, phenomenal. And then you add Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton. When those three play, that team almost never loses. I think the Bucks are the biggest threat to the Celtics. But I think coaching is going to play such a big part down the line. Not regular season, but postseason. You coach a completely different game when you get to postseason. And I think that'll be it'll be very interesting to see how Fazul is his name, I believe. I want to see how he coaches his first postseason series.
Yeah, I'll answer here. I'm glad all three of us kind of have different answers because I think mine's pretty clear. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs pose the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics, and they've already beat them twice this year. They have the Celtics number, and I think the Cavs have one of the most talented rosters in the entire NBA. I know they're 21-19 in their last since they started 8-1. They've been 21-19, but when it comes to postseason time, Donovan Mitchell is a leader of that team. Like I know Jack says, like you say, Jack, it's coaching and it comes with coaching, but Donovan Mitchell is the leader of that team. They go as he goes. They will ride Mitchell. And I personally think if Mitchell can figure it out and stay healthy on the court, the Cavaliers will pose the biggest threat in the East by far.
I love my Cleveland Cavaliers. I just think they're a year away. I don't see a way where they make it out of the Eastern Conference this year. I think Darius needs to take another step. I think Mobley needs to take another step. I think he's taking it right now, but Mobley has to be a player where he can be the second or third best player on a team that wins a championship. I don't think he's there right now. I think he's getting there. I think we're a year away. Carter, I also disagree with you because you got to take into account the Nets are without KD. They're on a six-game losing streak, something like that. They've lost almost all the games since KD's gotten hurt. Kyrie is going to say something to piss half the country off within a couple of weeks now, according to my timeline. So he's not going to play at some point. So they're going to finish six in the East, would be my assumption. So they're going to have to beat three out of the top four teams, essentially, to make it into the East, to make it to the finals. So they're going to probably have to beat Boston, Philly, and Milwaukee, or Boston, Philly, and Cleveland, three straight series. And I don't think they have the depth to do that. I agree with Jackson here. I think it's the simple answer. I think it's the most straightforward. The Bucks, even though they haven't been healthy this year, they've still been very good. Let their top three, who have abundance of playoff experience, Budenholzer has proven he can win a championship. I think that's the obvious pick, and they've proven they compete with the Celtics. So I would go with the Bucks. You know, I see where Hunter's talking about the Cavs are 2-0 against the Celtics.
The issue I have with the Bucks is kind of like Carter and Jake both said. It's health-wise. Middleton just got back. He missed about a month. He's missed a long time. I haven't seen the Bucks healthy, and Middleton's the number two options. So until Middleton's fully healthy and he's back to his true self, then I feel like I can't say the Bucks. And the Nets are just not deep enough. Like, the Nets have KD and Kyrie, but they're just not deep enough. Like, their third best player is maybe... Like, who's the Nets' third best player? Nick Claxton?
Nicholas Claxton.
Nick Claxton is probably the third best player on the Brooklyn.
Who's actually played extremely well. He's like on pace to almost be.
Like, I'm just saying.
What about Watanabe?
Juan Watanabe?
I love that guy.
Yeah. Shooting
on a 40% clip from three.
I understand what you're saying about the Nets. I just think that's the team that can fill it up the most. And I would agree. I want to see a fully healthy Bucks before I say them, though. But that would be my next team right below the Nets. The problem I have with the Cavs, I think just being around a lot of Cavs fans, Darius Garland has taken a step this year and people don't even realize it. I mean, he's averaging the same amount of points. He's averaging 0.4 less rebounds and 0.6 less assists, and he added Donovan Mitchell to his team. So he became the number two option, and he's averaging the same amount of stats. Now, I know there needs to be progression, especially in late games. He's had some games this year where he has not made the right decisions with the ball, and that'll obviously progress with experience. I think the person that needs to take the biggest step is Evan Mobley. Jared Allen's playing his role correctly. Evan Mobley, now to, for some people that say, are saying that Evan Mobley is now all of a sudden like awful and like has not taken, like it sucks because he hasn't taken this step yet is wrong. Evan Mobley came back as a top five, top 10 defender in the league, just efficiency wise and effectiveness. But offensively, he needs to be able to go get his bucket a little more one-on-one than he has so far this season, at least consistently. Once that happens, the Cavs are going to be a terrifying team because Donovan Mitchell has already proved that he can show up big in the playoffs. So that's my opinion on the Cavs right now. But I just don't know if anyone right now is the clear front runner to challenge the Celtics.
Yeah, I think the Cavs are going to make it to the conference finals. I think they're ceiling. And because I think Evan Mobley is playing extremely well right now. I think he's going to hit his stride. My only problem with Darius is I think I can't see him being the second best player on a team that wins a championship. Unless he joins up with, Luka or Giannis.
Could you see Mobley being the second best player on a team that wins a championship?
Well, right now. I could see Garland, if Garland improves next year, yes. I think in a future date, they can be. But I don't think either one of them can be the second best player.
So you think they're too early?
Okay. Yeah. I think the Cavs are a year away. All right. Do you want to go to the West?
I would love to start.
All right. Hunter, you take
so I've said a lot of very. I'm going to start with the Lakers just to get out of the way. Get out of the way really quick. Okay, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off. I have said a lot of negative things about Russell Westbrook this year, and just in general, I've been a Russell Westbrook hater. I think I owe him a bit of an apology. He has played exceptionally well this year. Much better than I thought he would have. And here's what I don't understand. I think, how are the Lakers 13th in the West? Because I know they started bringing Westbrook off the bench. But what do the Lakers need to get them back into that play-in spot? Because LeBron's playing like an MVP.
I think they need they can't really make a big trade. But they traded for Rui Hachimura. So unless he turns in the third coming of Jesus Christ or second coming of Jesus Christ, then I don't see a way they can win the final. The Lakers are hard for me because their role players are finally playing well. Like you kind of mentioned, Russell's finding his role. When it was Anthony Davis and LeBron playing together, they were both playing well. I don't know. I think they need one more complimentary piece that can put up 15 points in a playoff game when they need it to be. But I don't know. That's hard. Jack, what do you think?
I don't think the Lakers are there. I do think Russell Westbrook's taken a very nice step. I don't think he's ever deserved the hate that he's got. He plays very hard. I think he's in a terrible system. He's a lot older now. He's not what he used to be. Rui Hachimura, the trade really doesn't make any sense to me. He's not a star. He's a role player at best, maybe a little bit above a role player. The saddest tweet I saw was, does this trade make Lakers playoff contenders? Not even contenders, just playoff contenders, because, you know, they're the 13th seed in the West right now. I don't think the Lakers make the playoffs. I don't think this trade does much for them. I think they're in a world of hurt. LeBron is still playing on this ridiculous level of just greatness for a 40-year-old man. But he's not going to be like that 4 years from now. You have Anthony Davis for a few more years, and you don't have picks for a while, and you have no money. So, I think this Lakers team's in a ton of trouble, which makes me really happy because, you know, no one deserves this more than LeBron James does. No one deserves this more than California fans do. Fake fan base. One of the most annoying players in the NBA, in my opinion, is LeBron James. So I'm very glad to see this happening. And I do not think the Lakers make the playoffs this year or next year or the year after.
Okay, well, so much to unpack there, Jackson. First of all, they are going to make the playoffs. Once AD gets healthy, I'm looking at the Western Conference right now. They're probably the seventh best team would be my assumption there. Because the role players have been playing well. And when you have LeBron and AD as your 1-2 punch, that's enough to be in the playoffs. Your take on LA fans is perfect, except with maybe the exception of Sacramento King fans and San Francisco 49ers fans. All fans in California are abysmal. So that is accurate. Your LeBron hate was something, like, I can understand a little bit of it, Jackson, but, like, you're, like, at, like, a 10 out of 10 LeBron
11.
Hate.
No, I'm at an 11.
Like, I watched Believeland the other day, like, the documentary.
Thank you, Kyrie.
The woes in Cleveland. Just, that itself should, like, take it down by two.
It's just, it's, hate him, the, like, it's, eight the pedestal, it's the pedestal he puts himself on that drives me nuts. He's never won a championship by himself. He's had to leave for every single one. He's not loyal. On top of that, he's only got four, and one of them is a Mickey Mouse ring. The COVID ring absolutely does not count. So in hindsight, he's really got three. There are so many other NBA players with more than three. And also, I think there's a lot of NBA players leaving better legacies than him. Like Steph Curry and Kobe Bryant, for example, I think they both have more impressive careers than LeBron James. But because LeBron James openly goes out, I'm LeBron, I'm the greatest to ever do this. We give it to him. We do. And I think it's ridiculous. And he's going to pass Kareem and everyone, oh, he's better than Jordan. Hell no, he's not better than Jordan. Jordan's 6-0. I think it's ridiculous. I don't understand the pedestal LeBron gets put on. I think because, you know, we put him on Sports Illustrated in like the 2003 year, you know, he's been the GOAT since then. I think it's ridiculous. I can't stand the guy. I think he's the most annoying player in the NBA.
Jackson, you and my grandpa would get along very well.
Yeah, no, like again, I speak for a very silent majority when it comes to frenemies. A lot of the world hates LeBron James and doesn't think he's as good as, you know, he says he is. Like this might sound far-fetched, but there's been times I've been working my desk job, and, you know, some kids' dads will come up to me, hey, I heard you were the guy that, you know, hates LeBron James. Thank you. And they shake my hand. Like, that means the world to me.
I'm glad you're making an influence on all these young kids' lives.
Oh, well, hold on. If you're going to talk about me making an influence on young kids' lives, I have to bring this up. In my spare time at my job, you know, I run a lot of youth basketball clinics, right? And, you know, to say they all go well would be an understatement. They all go exceptional. Like, I'm building the next brand of basketball. And we always end every single camp and every single practice the exact same way, okay? I bring them all to half court. You know, first, like, I'm asking, you know, did you have fun? What's something we learned? And then I'll ask every single kid, who is the greatest basketball player of all time? I'll always ask that. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time? And if anyone answers LeBron James, I make the entire camp go to the baseline and we run suicides. And we keep doing it until every single camper tells me Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time.
That's honestly fine if you want to say Michael Jordan, but that's the only other acceptable answer, not named LeBron James. Jackson, a man dragged unsuperior teams to 11 straight finals. He's averaged 27, you know, 8, and 7 in his entire career.
Shut up.
He is doing unprecedented things at the age of 38. He's not even close. He's going to finish top 10 in probably 10 different stats. I mean, 4 different stats at this point. I don't understand.
Carter, like LeBron, no one comes more unprepared to these meetings than you. There's now an echo that I can't get out of my ear. You left and came back. I don't understand why we can't come prepared.
All right. Whole. Okay. All right. Let's get back to LeBron here. Oh God. See, no, Jackson. Here's the issue I have with you. Okay. I can understand that you're trying to breed LeBron haters. And I want to say, I would probably put like 45 to 50% of Cleveland people now hate LeBron James, which is fine. But you could still be respectful of what he did. And at least, you know, honor the fact that he is one of the greatest of all time. And here's a thing that I think never gets brought up with LeBron. LeBron, since the age of 14, has had the world look at him. and he's never really had a misstep that long in the spotlight where every single move that he does gets criticized. He's, of course, not going to be normal. Like, Jack, that's why I think he's a little bit, like, selfish of himself. But, like, that's, he doesn't know anything better.
Okay,
he's
hold
been
on,
in the spotlight his entire life.
Jake, I agree with every word you just said.
Thank you.
Like, off the court, like, LeBron's a good dude. Like, the dude's never had a speeding ticket. He's got three great kids, and he built the I Promise school. Okay? Good
so your
dude
hatred
off the court.
Is just on,
purely on the court,
on the
purely
court.
Basketball. He left for every single
That's just a lie.
He's done. Carter, fix your echo cancellation. It's only you. It's unbelievable. Okay. Maybe stop talking. But look, I can't stand LeBron on the court. I can't. He's won three championships. The fourth doesn't count. He's left for every single one of them. He's not revolutionized the game in any way. And he doesn't stay. Like, look at Curry. Curry drafted by one team, four championships. He might get a fifth, and he revolutionized the game of basketball. Kobe, one of the greatest to ever do it. One of the hardest work ethics ever. I didn't see Kobe, you know, sitting out games. It's unbelievable. I look at, like, the founders of basketball. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird did more for the game than LeBron James. They also, you know what they didn't do? They didn't leave. They didn't go form super teams. It's a new thing that LeBron started, and it drives me nuts. Even San Antonio, like, the Greg Popovich era, they built that over a course of years and years and years, and they won multiple championships with it. LeBron's never won one on himself, and that's why I cannot respect him as a basketball player.
Okay, Jackson, now, see, what you just brought up is just something that makes me angry. Okay, because I honestly I don't really suck off LeBron. Okay, he's second best of all time. All right, he's not better than Michael Jordan, which I think is a very accurate and simple take. What you just said, Jackson, though, like, those teams didn't have to leave because they were given a super team. Essentially, LeBron in his first 8 years in Cleveland, second best player was Boobie Gibson or Drew Gooden, which is an issue. So LeBron was never given these things. He made the choice of, if I want to be like the greatest of all time, which is LeBron's aspirations, he has to leave. He has to go to Miami, and he has to build these teams himself because management wouldn't do it for him. Larry Bird essentially had a super team with everyone around him. MJ had Pippen, the greatest coach of all time, and a greater supporting cast. Curry had Durant, Green, and Thompson. So all these players that you mentioned all had super teams. So LeBron just had to find his. Because management wouldn't do it for him.
Sorry, I was texting our producer that entire time, telling him, you know, everything that went wrong here. But I disagree with everything you said. I don't know what you said, though.
You know, Jackson, it's called multitasking. So you can listen while texting. But thank you for showing your attentiveness. All right. Who wants to? What else should we talk about here, other than LeBron James?
I'll touch on the West a little bit, I guess. Then we can wrap things up here. The Sacramento Kings, Jake. What a call! I did not see the Kings even coming close to what they are now. They're third in the West right now. And who would have known that trade, that Tyrese Haliburton trade, would have been so beneficial for both teams? Everyone was calling Sacramento idiots. Domantas Sabonis turned out to be a stud. And he was a stud with Indiana, don't get me wrong. But everyone's like, why would you trade with this young guard who's been absolutely killing? It's worked out. The Kings are winning ball games. I mean, there's not much else to say. De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are one hell of a dynamic duo. And even over in Indiana, Tyrese Haliburton's getting the reps he needs to become a superstar. So I think both sides would be happy, but I'm really impressed with the Sacramento Kings.
Hunter, you just made a very excellent point there. Yeah, no, it's one of the few trades where it's actually win-win. I feel like there's always a winner and there's always a loser. I think both teams benefited. Because I think the Pacers, they didn't even want to be good this year. They just wanted to be somewhat okay, so it looks like they have good young talent and still get a good draft pick, which is what they're going to get. And the Kings, which, first of all, good for their fans. We talk about the Browns being irrelevant. They've been so, so bad for so, so long. So they're finally going to make the playoffs, hopefully. But yeah, no, the Kings have been great. Nuggets have been wonderful. Jokic looks like he's winning this. Looks like it could be winning a third straight MVP. Which, talk about MVP, I guess we can just jump into that discussion. Carter, I have no idea if you're here or not, but we're gonna do us our three's MVPs, and then if we can't get you an audio, you can just send in the chat, and then we will speak it for you. I think Jokic wins his third. I think they're gonna finish first in the West around 60 wins, and I don't think you can have a team. He's by far the best player on the number one team in the West and not put him as the front runner for him.
Jacob, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're right. I think you're correct. However, you know how the NBA is scripted and the NFL, and like it's all just scripted. You know, like none of it's real. None of it's real. Correct. So,
correct.
Because of how scripted the NBA is, I think this is the year LeBron wins it. I really do. He's been playing. He's been playing at an MVP level. No one can deny that. And he's going to break Kareem's scoring record this year. Like, I don't see a scenario. And you're right. Normally, it's the best team with the best player. Typically, that's how the MVP goes. This just really feels like a farewell. LeBron, you did a lot for us. You're getting the MVP this year. I don't know why. I see it in my head.
So where do you think the Lakers have to finish in order for that to happen? Because they have to be at least tops. I think Russell Westbrook won it, and the Thunder were like six. So he has to reach at least, he has to be out of the play-in. So do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I do. I think the Lakers can get out of there. I think Rui Hachimura will help. I mean, he's not going to be a difference maker, a game changer, a ton, but he will help. And that's kind of what they need right now, is just more players, more playmakers, more basketball players. Because right now, they have a lack of skill on that basketball team. And once Davis gets back and healthy, I think that'll be a different rejuvenized ball club a little bit as well. So I think they would have to be right around the 6 or 7 mark, if I were to guess, for him to get it.
You know, I'll just, you know, speak what's not being spoken here. And I'm going to, you know, I'll allow everyone to take a big sigh of relief. LeBron is not going to win the MVP. He's not going to get the MVP. Don't worry. You're not going to have to sit through that again. It'll be Luka or it'll be Jokic. Jokic is going to go 3 in a row, or Luka's going to get his first one. And Tatum, you know, Tatum's going to get some votes too, which will be cool. But no, LeBron, absolutely not. No scenario. He's not an MVP. He would get my LVP because I hate him. I'm sorry. Like, I really hate the guy. No, it'll be Luka. It'll be Jokic. Tatum definitely deserves votes. I wouldn't be upset if Tatum got it at all. He's the best player on the best team. Yeah, but I really don't care who wins the MVP. It's a great award. A lot of guys deserve it, just not LeBron.
I would say before Durant got hurt, I think he's going to put himself in the conversation. Because not only was he top 5 offensively, he was a beast defensively, but he's now gone. All right. So our winner from the Eastern Conference Final matchup and the winner, same for the West, and then our Finals matchup and winner. From everyone, it looks like. Well, maybe not Carter. Who wants to go first?
I think this one's hard because I know I said the Cavs earlier had the Celtics number. I think it's Cavs Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final. I think the Celtics won in 7. They're more experienced. They're more playoff ready. Obviously, and like Jake said, I think the Cavs are a year away. However, I think the Cavs will give him a push, and I think it'll shock a lot of teams this year. So I think Boston reaches it and goes back to the final. On the West side? Boston beats Cavs in 7.
Boston over. Okay.
Yeah, Hunter, I like it a lot, but not that much. I'm going to take the Bucks. I think the Bucks are coming out of the East. I love Giannis. I think he's going to go down as a top 10 player to ever play the game when it's all said and done. I'm not going to say who wins the finals yet, because I think I'm assuming we're going to do that after we pick from the West. But I really, really like the Bucks this year.
I'm going to go. I hope it's the Cavs, of course, but I'll go Boston. Boston Bucks. I'll take Milwaukee. Yeah, I'll take the Bucks in the finals. All right. By the way, because Carter cannot speak, Carter says Jokic should be win MVP. Carter, do you have your Eastern Conference final match? This is great for the podcast. Celtics Bucks, and the winner is
drum roll. Me and him.
Celtics. Okay.
There you go, America. The guy that can't work a virtual meeting has the Boston Celtics in the finals.
All right, let's go to the West. I think it's by far the hardest one to try to find a winner here because some of the best teams are not healthy, so it's kind of hard to see where they're going to be. God. All right, I'm going to go because I want this to happen. I'm going to take Denver against Golden State. I'll take Denver in the finals. I think Yogi Bear finally gets his stuff together and uses that MVP and then actually makes it to a finals.
I like that. I will go with the best player, I think, possibly in the NBA right now. And I know they're the sixth seed at the current moment. I think they can get up to a 3 or 4 seed. I think it'll be Denver-Dallas. I think Dallas makes the final. They're well-rounded. Luka Doncic is so effing good. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Well, okay. Well-rounded is a stretch.
They're not bad. I'm just telling you, Luka will take over games in the postseason, and this is his year to make it back. Like, he will beat a Memphis team or a Golden State team in a 7-game series, and it'll be Jokic versus Dallas in the Western Conference Final. And I don't know who wins it, but I'm going to go Dallas just to make it more exciting. So give me Dallas-Boston.
I don't know, dude. Luka, he can drop 50 points, but he still needs someone else to contribute. Last year, as Jalen Brunson is the reason he got so far, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Now Brunson's gone, and unless Christian Wood can consistently put up 20 points a game, I just don't see a way they can
do it. Is Ish Smith still on Dallas?
I don't know. If that's your question, if Ish Smith is still on Dallas, then there's just an issue with them picking the finals. But yes, I think this. Maybe. Jackson,
send in Carter's picks first.
Oh, okay.
All
right, Carter's got interesting. None of the teams that have been mentioned so far. Again, the West is so hard to predict right now, just due to injuries and not knowing how teams are gonna end up doing at the end of the season. But yeah, Clippers, Grizzlies from Carter, and the winner.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Clippers. What is your obsession with the Clippers?
That is awful.
I don't know, man. Kawhi or Paul George is bound to get injured. And they don't play enough games together as a team, I think, to have enough chemistry to make it pass and go to the finals. I don't know.
Yeah, that's bad. The Grizzlies are fine. You know, I'm looking at the conference standings right now in the West, and like honestly, I'm kind of shocked. This isn't what I expected. I didn't realize how bad the Warriors were.
No Curry.
Yeah, but still though, it's like it's weird to me to see the Kings at 3, the Pels at 4, and then see like the Suns all the way down at 7.
Like, the Pels are really good this year.
I know, but the Pels they've been terrible in their last like week and a half. They're 2-8.
No Ingram, no Zion.
I understand. You know, I really don't know. I gotta be honest. So I'll just, you know, I'll throw something fun out there. I hope it's Nuggets Pelicans. I want to see Zion in the finals because I think Zion's really good. And, you know, I think he got a lot of shit after his rookie year for, you know, being injured and being fat. But now he's playing really well. I like it. I'll go Pelicans.
No, Jackson, I don't hate that.
Thank you.
Memphis and New Orleans are probably the two of my favorite teams, like the West Side, just to watch. Just because they're extremely entertaining. The Pelicans have a bunch of players. It's not just Ingram and Zion. You can add on Jose Alvarado can be a great
DJ McCollum.
Player. DJ, yeah, CJ McCollum. You got Jonas Valanciunas. You have Herb Jones, who's one of the best 3-and-D people already. He's I think a second year in the NBA. Yeah, no, I don't hate Pelicans. All right, let's do finals picks here, and then we will end what has been a very interesting episode here.
Real quick, before we get into our finals picks.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, all yours.
Hayes. Hayes, I know you're going to be like watching this because you're the best editor in the world out there. I think this has been a great episode. If you can somehow like savior this, because there was the audio issue with Carter. I don't want to, you know, point fingers, so, but there's an audio issue, Carter. Video issue, Carter. Echo issue, Carter. Hayes, if you find a way to like, you know, make this uploadable, I already like, my hat's already like tipped off to you, but I would be so amazed.
Jack, who do you have winning the finals?
Well, whoever Carter doesn't have, I'm going to go. I picked the Pelicans, didn't I?
Yours is right now, Pelicans Bucks.
That's interesting. I'll tell you right there, that's interesting. If you're a betting man, I wouldn't bet that. But I'll go Bucks. I think Giannis gets it second. I genuinely think Giannis is going to go down as one of the greatest players to ever play the sport of basketball. I think he's everything Victor Wembanyama is supposed to be, and I don't think Victor Wembanyama comes close to that. I take Giannis. I think the Bucks win their second. I love Mike Budenholzer. I think he's a great coach. Bucks.
Yeah, mine's Boston, Dallas, and like Jake said, Dallas doesn't have enough. Boston won in five. Dallas would be exhausted.
Mine is Nuggets and Bucks. I'm probably going to change my prediction by the time playoffs comes around, but this is just something I want to see. I'm going to take the Nuggets. I think Jokic pops off in the playoffs, and I think with him, Jamal Murray, Bones Highland, and Michael Porter Jr., hopefully healthy, and Aaron Gordon. They actually low-key have a squad. I'll take the Nuggets. And Carter chose the we're going to give him – he did pick the Detroit Pistons for the next year. But Carter just posted in the chat. Okay. Any last thoughts?
What an episode.
I mean, look, the Lord says, you know, be slow in anger. But I got a lot of work to do because I'm very angry with, you know, how a certain member. Sorry, I'm just.
It's okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you all for
what
listening.
What are we doing?
We'll see you later.